Brother John Shannon.
Come on in and come on down. I appreciate your presence, and we appreciate the providence of God who has permitted us to come to this place this morning for the purpose of studying His precepts and how we may better perform before our Savior as members of the body of Christ. Thank you again for inviting me to come to this place to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And it's good to see all of you here, and you who are not members of the churches of Christ, we welcome you to the Church of Christ that meets at Leoni or Leoni. It depends on where you live, how you pronounce it. I just was informed that. But I'm grateful to be here. In the book of Ezra, chapter 7, 6 through about 10 or 13, we have the Jews returning from Babylonian captivity there, going to Palestine, and Ezra described, listen to me, we're going to learn some lessons this morning from Ezra the scribe. We'll probably give the interpretation of the text. I don't know if you bought a copy of your Bible with you, but you should have, and shame on you if you didn't. But we'll let you buy this time, but the rest of the week we appreciate it if you bring your 66 with you. Are you listening to me? Thank you. We'll give an interpretation and make some applications. In this particular text, and one gentleman said to me, he loves preaching from the Old Testament. The things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now, this morning, we're going to look at Ezra. 7:10 will be where we will kind of park. But Ezra led a group of Jews from captivity, Babylon, back to Palestine. That's the text. That's what it's talking about. But in Ezra 7:6-10, look at what we have about Ezra. We have, can you all see that? I mean, I slept in a bed last night that I was just not used to. I roll and tumble all night long. It'll probably take me another night's rest to get used to the bed. Now, you've been sleeping in your bed for 50 years or more, and I know you had a good night's rest last night, so you could smile or just, you know, kind of cheer up a little bit. It's not that bad, is it? Well, Garland, can you see from there? Can you see this right here? It says his what?
Way.
We're dealing with the text. We're still in verse 6. We looked at his way. What else we look at?
Work.
His work. Ezra. All right. Number 3, we look at his
word.
All right. Number 4, we look at what? His warrant from the official, the king. Then we see number 5, his what?
Wonder.
His wonder. And we're going to talk about his walk. Now that is the outline of Ezra 7, 6 through 10. Now the reason I do this, when I first obeyed the gospel of Christ, preachers would get up and teachers would get up, and they would take a passage of scripture and just start preaching on it and never gave any background or introduction to where it was coming from. See? So you got a little background of this. I don't have long this morning, but that's the way I like to preach and teach now, so the audience and the students of the Bible can learn. Is that good? Now, we're going to look at 4 things about Ezra the scribe in his walk. And we're going to show from scripture what he did, then we're going to have to make applications on what we ought to be doing. How many members of the Church of Christ here? I imagine it's all members. And you don't retire yet. Now, you can retire from a secular job, but from the spiritual realm, you retired when the Lord called you in. As long as you have life in your body and you have all of your marbles here, you know, you can think pretty good. God expects you to perform. He doesn't expect you to perform like you did when you were a teenager, but he does expect you to perform. Is that good? Now, first of all, we look at, let's turn if you would. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Ezra, chapter 7 and verse number 10? Let's look at that. Is this all right? Boy, I hope I can make you folk liven up a little bit here. Yes, sirree. I hope I can make you liven up a little bit here now. All right, we're going to turn to Ezra here. All right. All right, Ezra, chapter 7 and verse number 10. Everybody with me? All right. All right, now I can't, I know, and I see I got a new Bible here. See here, this is a new Bible, this old one here, this Bible right here, this is what I've been preaching out of for 42 years. And it's just raggedy, and I decided to bring a new one, with me along here. Maybe I can handle it, but I don't know it as well as I know this one. But in Ezra 7, 10. Everybody there, let's turn there and look at it. Ezra 7 and verse 10. See how easy I turned there? Golly. See that? That's easy, wasn't it? All right, let's look at it. Ezra 17, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart." Look at that. So the first point we look at Ezra, he prepared his heart. So we got preparation. Anything you get ready to do for the Lord, you must be prepared. Do we have any military personnel in here? I know we got one Air Force guy. No others? Well, in the military, if you cut grass, they showed you how to use the weed eater and the lawnmower before you picked it up. You got to be prepared. God's people must be prepared. Watch it. The first thing Ezra did, it says Ezra had prepared his heart, not this heart. This heart is designed to pump blood to the body. But the heart that he prepared is this heart. For with the heart man believeth. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." That's this heart. They shall see God. So you got to get your heart prepared. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you got to make your mind up. So he had prepared his heart to seek the law. Look at here. Seek the law. What do you mean? Investigation. Look what we have here. We got preparation. Now we got investigation. All right. Then it says, and do it. Look, he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's investigation. And do it. That's application. Then it says, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Education. Let's do it like this. A lot of members of the Church of Christ who have not prepared their heart, they don't know scripture, they ain't applied to their life, but they want to teach someone. If you don't do these in orders, it probably won't work. I need to teach these people what to do to be saved. But you don't really know what you're doing. I was out fishing there, I guess about a year ago, a young lady saw me. I guess she was about 35, 40 years old. She was in the military, and she came down and saw me. I was just sitting there fishing by myself. She said, I want to tell you about Jesus. She said, do you mind? I said, come on around. Have a seat on the ground there. Keep your dog over there with you. She said, let me witness to you about Jesus. I said, okay. I said, go ahead. She said, you know who Jesus was? I said, yeah. She said, well, I want to witness to you about Jesus. To make a long story short, when I finished with that young lady, see, I seen in my younger days when I didn't know how to do it, I would do it differently. I would just jump right on her, but I didn't. Because I saw that she was a nice-looking young lady, but she was ignorant. And I just started asking the question. I said, do you know who Jesus was? She said, yeah. I said, have you ever seen him? She said, no. I said, have you ever talked to him? No. I said, why are you going to tell me about Jesus and you don't even know him? You never saw him. I said, well, okay now. Are y'all still with me? This is where I started off with. Y'all know what these are? This is a level. And this is a yardstick. There's 36 inches in a yardstick. 12 inches in a foot. Is that right? Now, so I started off with standard. I said, how can you tell if a word is properly spelled? She said, well, you go to the dictionary. Okay. I said, if you're building a house, and you want to make sure the floor is level and the wall is level. Of your laying bricks, you want to make everything level. What do you use? A level. I said, how long do you think this rod that I'm fishing with, how long do you think it is? She said, I don't know. I said, if you want to find out exactly how long it was, what would you use? She said, well, you use a ruler. I said, well, wow. I said, you know, you're really smart. She said, well, what has that got to do with us and talking about Jesus? I said, since you never saw Jesus and you never heard him, I said, what is the purpose of God's divine word? She said, you know, I never thought about that. I said, now watch this now. You accept all of these other things as standard by which we can know for sure. I said, do you believe that God's word is inspired and is from God? I said, if you don't believe that, we need to quit right now. Brethren, when you start teaching people, the first thing you need to establish with them is, do you believe that the scripture is the standard of authority in religion for everybody? Sometimes I'm talking to black people. Well, the white man wrote the Bible. I said, whoop-a-doo. Well, you can't trust it. I said, let me ask you something. I said, who was the 16th president of the United States of America? He said, Abraham Lincoln. I said, did you see him? Oh. See, I don't have to use the Bible on guys, an idiot. I wanted to use the Bible on the idiot because he's not going to believe this. But I get something he will believe. I said, did you have a grandmama and a granddaddy? A great-great-granddaddy? He said, yeah. I said, what? Did you see him? How do you know you have it? Here is the answer. The evidence. Brethren, are you listening? Please listen. The evidence. The evidence. So I've used illustration after illustration. I'm going to get back to my lesson here, but I've got to say this. The white man or the black man is not smart enough to write the Bible because it's too much stuff in there that is no way that a human, little weak-minded people like us, frail beings like us, could even put it together. Who in the world would have thought of, watch it, Abraham could see the day of Christ. And watch it, Isaiah saw a virgin having a child, and you won't find out who it was until you get to Matthew. No man is that smart. And I could go on and on and on. But anyway, you talk about evidence. I said, honey, Do you know God exists? I said to the chief, how do you know? I said, don't tell me you feel him. You can't feel God. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So you can't feel God, you can't see God, you can't hear God. How do you know God exists? Through the evidence of creation. I think that's Romans chapter 1, and about 18 and following. So I said, now do you accept this as God's word? I said, now wait a minute. Y'all, work, just bear with me. I said, do you believe that this is the way God speaks to all people? Brethren, are y'all listening? Do you believe that God speaks to all men the same way today? See, if you don't believe that, we're going to have a problem, God. See, because if you think that God speaks to you through a little small voice at night or whatever, and we're going to ignore his law, we're not going to get along. And brethren, this is what makes the churches of Christ different from denominationalism. We don't believe in that foolishness. I hope you all don't believe in that. And if you do, I'm going to try to convince you otherwise. The way God speaks to man today is through the word, through the written word. I know in old times, during the days of the apostles, watch it, the Holy Spirit was working directly on the apostles and prophets, and they spake words from God, but they confirmed it with miracles and signs. So miracles and signs are not happening anymore. Why? Because we got the word already confirmed. Now, if you don't, do you accept this? Now, I'm teaching my class here. Do you believe there are 66 books in the Bible? Do you believe that? Bow your head, yeah. All right, watch this here. Look at this. Draw a line. You got the Old Testament and you have the New Testament. That right? Now, you got 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. Do you believe that so far? Now, watch this here. The Old Testament is broken down like this. Everybody still with me? Still with me? You got, look at this. You got 5, 12, 5, 5, 12. This is how it's broken down. You got 5 books of the law of Moses. You got 12 books of Hebrew history. You got the poetic books, 5. And you got 5 major prophets, huh? And then you got 12 minor prophets. Now, let's stop here a moment. Every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whatever, when we meet at James Road, here's something that we go over every time we meet. We name the books of the Bible. Name it. Start from Genesis and go on down. We'll have brothers, some brothers to lead it off. Listen, every session. Now, let's go back a minute. Somebody says, you do that every time you meet, every time we meet. We go to the books of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Got me? Then we go, watch, here's the New Testament. We got 4, 1, 14, 7, and 1. Well, what is that? That's 4 books of the gospel. That's the life of Christ. You got 1 book of Acts, which is a book of conversion, and it talks about Messiahship of Jesus, and the book of Acts is a background book for many of the epistles. Alright? Then we got, and the book of Acts tell you what to do to be saved, how to become a Christian, and then there are 14 general epistles and 7 specific epistles, or general epistles, and 14 specific, and these tell the Christian how to live the Christian life. And then you got 1 book of prophecy, which is Revelation. That means that you're going to win. See? Now watch this. Do you know all the books of the Bible? Now somebody said, Brother Shannon, that's elementary. That's where we messed up in the churches of Christ in the last 20 years. We done got too smart till we just don't even know the books of the Bible. How are you going to teach somebody the books of the Bible? I remember another incident there. Well, a young man, he knew the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a member of the body of Christ. And so I said, I want to have a class with you. He said, good. He said, I want to get on the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. That's the first thing we need to do is, I said, do you know all of the books of the Bible? He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, would you turn to the book of Hezekiah, chapter 1 and verse number 2? I said, go ahead and find it. He turned and he turned and he turned and he looked and he looked and he looked. He said, I can't find it. I said, there isn't a book called the Book of Hezekiah. There ain't no book called no Hezekiah. Where you come from? And here's a man don't even know the books of the Bible. And he gonna try to talk to me about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit operates. He don't even know the books of the Bible. Now how are you gonna teach denomination people and they know about the books of the Bible and you don't? You get it? Yup. Do you see that? Come on, smile. This is the Bible class. And anytime you got a comment, go ahead and make a comment. But you get my point? Some individuals don't know 1 Corinthians from 1 Chronicles. That some people don't know Ezra from Ephesians. Don't know. Why? At home, when we first started doing these books of the Bible, every time we met, they said, this is getting old. This is silly. This is ridiculous. So now we got to learn, at least learn the books of the Bible. You don't learn anything else. So now we got it where guys that couldn't hardly, wouldn't even get up to speak. They can get up and quote the books of the Bible. Old, young, teenagers, all of them can quote all the books of the Bible. Then we go to here's a good one here. Here is a good one, Garland. Since there are 66 books in the Bible, can you tell anybody about one thing that's in each book? That's pretty good, isn't God? Do you know the average preacher in churches of Christ today cannot tell you what's in each book of the Bible? I'm not talking about going into detail. Just name something in it. Yeah. Boy, this is hard. This is hard. You know, you are a fine cook. You think I haven't forgot you, but I haven't forgot you. You're a great cook. And I hope you have some good beans and rice for me this time. I'm doing this here to kind of soften to blow up because this is not easy on people.
Barbecue chicken.
Well, I still got to have some beans, some pinto beans and rice. You see, you can feed me cheap. You can feed me real cheap. Dog food costs more than what I eat, you know what I mean? Well, let's go a little further here. Now, are you following me? So, now watch this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, turned to all good works. But Paul said that study to show that the word study means to give diligence. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm still talking to this young lady. I said, do you believe the whole Bible? She said, yes, I do. I said, do you believe everything in the Bible is not for you? She said, no, everything in the Bible for me. I said, no, it's not. Do you know that? Okay, let me give you an example from the Old Testament that everything in the Bible is not for you. It's going to be for your learning, but it's not for you to do. In Genesis chapter 2, God told Adam not to eat of the tree. Right? That's not talking to you. That was a positive command for one man. All right? In Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 22, God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. Do you think he told you to do that? She began to see it. And he told him to build it so long, so high, so wide, make out of gopher wood. See, a picture within and a picture out would fit. And the Bible said, thus did Noah that all God commanded him to do. Genesis 6:22. Now, I said, was that for you? She said, well, I certainly not. I said, in Joshua chapter 6, in verse number 1 through 5, God said to Joshua, look at what God said to Joshua. He said, S-E-E, see, watch it. I have given to you Jericho, and the king and the mighty men of valor. That's what he told Joshua. He says, ye compass the city, watch each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around 7 times. A total of 13 times. Was that talking to you? Did God tell you to march around? No, brethren, you need to know who's talking, to whom's he talking, what was he talking about, and when. Are you still with me? There have been 3 dispensations. Patriotic, about 2,500 years. Mosaic, about 1500 years, and the Christian age has been going on since Anno Domini. Let's stop a moment. You ever heard of the Anno Domini? A.D. You know A.D.? You know, for a long time, I was just plain out ignorant. I say B.C. means before the birth of Christ, and A.D. is talking about the death of Christ. And I was just as wrong and dogmatic with it. Anno Domini is a Latin word which means the year of our Lord. Not after the death of Christ. It's, watch it, it's the year of our Lord. Now watch this. It's been going on almost 2,000 years. 1900 some years, right? So the law of Christ has been in effect longer than the law of Moses stayed in effect. Is that right? Now, which one of the dispensations do you live in? Do you live in the patriotic? Do you live in the Mosaic? Or do you live in the Christian age? She says, I live in the Christian age. I say, you do. I said, now watch this here. And do, are y'all still with me? I hadn't lost my mind yet. Computer working pretty good. And Deuteronomy 5 and verse number 1. Lick your fingers there and let's look at it. Garland, when I got the time, now you got, if you got a big pencil or you can count, if you can't count to 10, just hold 10 fingers up. Just hold your hand up like that so I'll get it. I don't want to go over now. Are you still with me? In Deuteronomy chapter 5, let me put it up here. 5, verse 1 through about 3, then we'll look at verse number 15. Pretty good? Now, I'm teaching this lady out on the lake, and while I was fishing, my fishing line, I fished like this, and the line was going like this. Both of them were going, the fish was just wearing it out. And she said, you're getting a bite? I said, no, don't worry about that. That's not important. I need to teach you something. You got it? Deuteronomy chapter 5. See, brethren, I didn't have a Bible with me. I didn't have a New Testament with me or the Old Testament. But I kind of had it in my head. And she said, you know, I'm just amazed that you're not reading none of that stuff verbatim, or you're not reading out of a book. I said, I've studied the book long enough. I ought to know that. Peter said, be ready to always give an answer. But Paul said you need to know how you ought to answer every man. Do you know how to answer? I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Are y'all still with me? Do y'all have a Walmart around here in this part? Or is it up in Murfreesboro? It's one up there. Is it one around here anywhere close? You know, sometimes you get in the argument with folks at Walmart and they want to talk the Bible. Don't pull your Bible out in the front of them and start clowning and talking about. They ask you why you have them or don't use mechanical instruments and music in your worship. Y'all can't afford a piano and all. Don't argue about that. Just ask them this question. Say, they ask you a question. Do you think you people are the only one going to heaven? You know, say, that's a good question. Would you like to know what the Bible teaches? No, don't go to Ephesians. They don't know Ephesians from Ezra. Why you don't have women preachers? That's a good question. Would you like to know what the Bible teaches? Do you believe once saved, always saved? Would you like to know what the Bible teaches? Brethren, it's not what we teach, it's what we practice. The Bible teaches, we practice. Good? Now let's go back to Deuteronomy. Are you with me? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number, are you still with me? Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 1. Let's look at it. Look at it quickly. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy 5 verse number 1. Look at what it says. It says, and Moses called all Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L, Israel, is a plural noun. Israel, plural noun. And said unto them, them is a plural pronoun describing the noun, plural noun, right? Said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Look at number 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Who are the us there? That's Israel. Got it? Us is a plural pronoun. In Horeb. What in the world is Horeb? That's Mount Sinai in Arabia. So God made a covenant with them in Israel. You got it? Look at this, verse number 3. Then he says, the Lord made not, N-O-T, this covenant with our fathers. Now watch this. Who was the father of these Jewish people? Let's go back a little bit. You had Adam, Seth, Edom, Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that right? Now watch this. God didn't make this covenant with them. You know, Seventh-day Adventists say that the Ten Commandments was given from the Garden of Eden. That's false. Because one of the Ten Commandments that says, honor thy father and thy mother, and he didn't get that to Adam and Eve. Why? Because Adam and Eve didn't have a father and mother. You see that? So, the Lord our God made not this covenant with our father, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Now, the Ten Commandments, there are 10 of them, found in Exodus 20. Did he give it to the Gentile? See how I'm going? See where I'm going? Did he give that law to the Gentile? No. He didn't make that covenant with them. He made it with Israel. Now watch this. One of the Ten Commandments says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know that? That's in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. You got it? Somebody said, well, if the Ten Commandments wasn't given to us, that means we can do murder. No, doesn't mean that. Remember this, class. God has some moral laws that's eternal. It wasn't a law given and codified, I should say. When I say codified, young man, I mean recorded. It was wrong for Cain to kill Abel, true or false? Was it a law written? No. Moral laws are just as eternal as God. But Exodus chapter 20, where it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that is not a moral law, that's a positive law, and it was given to one nation of people, and that's the children of Israel. Now watch this. If they were caught working on the Sabbath day unnecessarily, Numbers chapter 22, I believe it was, they were stoned. I asked Seventh-day Adventists, if they work on a Sabbath day where you are, and they do you stone them? They said, well, no, we don't do that today. Well, why not? You say you're under the same law. And Paul said, if you are part of a debtor for one part of the law, you're a debtor to keep the whole law. Why they don't stone? So we got that out of the way. So we're not under, no, we're not under the law of Moses. But under the law of Christ, morality is in every dispensation. Is that right, Garland? Moral laws always have been. You got it? But remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That wasn't a moral law. That had to have been a positive law. Because if it was a moral law, everybody had to keep it today. See that? Now wait a minute. Hold it. I hope I'm not going too fast. Now look at verse number 15. Still with me? Verse number 15. Then he says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Wait a minute. Garland, were you a servant in the land of Egypt? Were you anybody? Nope. He says, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Watch this. Therefore, the Lord our God commanded. Look at that word. Commanded. T-H-E-E. Who is the thee? Is it us or the Israel? Therefore, he says, since God brought you out of Egyptian bondage, he said, therefore, for this reason, you are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I know creation and freedom from sin, from Egyptian bondage. That's the children of Israel. You got it? They were commanded to keep the Sabbath day. We were never commanded to keep the Sabbath day. And brother, and I could just go on and on and on. And Seventh-day Adventists, you have to be sharp and watch them. What they'll do is they'll go to the New Testament and say things like this. They say, well, you know, Jesus Christ went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and following. They gave him a scripture, and he's on the Sabbath day, he stood up and read it. So if Jesus did it, we ought to do it. Oh. And he said, Paul went in the synagogue in Acts 17 and he worshiped on the Sabbath day with the Jewish people. No, that's not the reason Paul went in there. Paul went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day because he knew that the Jewish people were in the synagogue worshiping on the Sabbath, and Paul went in and debated with them. He didn't go in there to worship with them. He went in there and debated and talked with them. Why? Trying to teach them out of their Judaism. Probably didn't see that. Now, well, I got way away from this. Now, let me get on back over here. So, that preparation, investigation. Do you search the scripture daily? Listen to me. Every day of your life, you young people, maybe you don't know that, you need to get up, read scripture. Listen, if it's not but a chapter a morning or night, read scripture. And have the fellowship with God so you can pray to God every day. That's two things you need to do every day. You need to read scripture and watch it. If you have any sins on your soul, repent of your sin and talk to God in prayer through Jesus Christ. You got it? Wait a minute. Let me do that again. Every day of your life, read scripture. That's the precept. And then pray. But before you pray, make sure that you repent. See, if you don't repent of your sins, your prayers won't get through. Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their cries. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What them? In the church or out? If you think you're a member of the Church of Christ and you have the privilege of prayer and you have sin on your soul, God won't hear you. So make sure that you have penance and you pray. Acts chapter 8, verse 22 and following. There, Simon of Sauce was told by Peter, repent of this thou wicked and pray God. You don't want to lose that fellowship you have with God. Brethren, you have a power and that power of prayer. Now, so you got preparation, your heart, investigate the law, and do it. Brethren, when you read scripture, make it apply to you. When you read something in scripture, make sure that you're doing it. I think Paul said in Romans 2, thou that teaches another man not to steal, do you steal? Thou that teaches a man you shouldn't commit adultery, are you committing adultery? Then it says, look here, the last part here, it says to teach Israel statutes and judgment, education. And when you make preparation in your life, investigate for yourself, watch it, make application to yourself, and you need to start educating somebody. You gonna educate them out of this book. Now you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't leave where you don't go. Wait a minute, let me stop here a moment. Do I look that funny, y'all, that you have to kind of frown? Do I look odd? Do I look odd? Are y'all okay? Can you just say, yeah, that's right. Let me know that this is not mannequins in here. This is human beings. You know, is that all right? Now, so when you do that, listen. Start. I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. We on education. Brethren, this is the key to growth of a church, is people learning how to prepare themselves, investigate for themselves, and apply it to themselves. Now, Ezra can go teach Israel statutes and judgment. And that applies to us. We need to be so well educated that we ought to learn how to teach people the truth, to bring them to Christ. And even members of the Church of Christ who are kind of strayed away, it's a way you have to learn how to teach them to bring them back. I certainly hope that you've enjoyed this lesson. Thank you as always, and God bless you.